You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome to the Dynasty Draft Room, presented by Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Searfoss, joined by always as my co-host, Eric Adams. On tonight's show, we are going to be mock drafting the 2020 and 2021 rookie classes to see where they stack up. And don't forget, you can support our show by pressing the subscribe button and leaving a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever podcasts can be found. When you subscribe, you'll receive daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcast from the NFL Draft Bible. And we have a special episode tonight with our first guest since we've been rebranded, with our long-time listener, first-time caller, Matt Hicks, who used to be here on the show. How you doing tonight, Matt?
Hey, listen, I'm just here because we've had some audio issues here, and I'm going to take full credit for correcting those audio issues by being back on the podcast. So whether that's deserving or not, I'm going to go ahead and take credit for that. But Ryan, I just got to say, I'm so proud of you. You nailed that intro. I'm so proud of you. It feels good coming back.
Joe's going to edit the show and hear that. Be like, oh, you're going to take credit. Okay.
Very well. Thanks, Joe. Well, thanks.
I appreciate it. Okay, it was me who figured it out on my own. But awesome. Eric, how are you doing tonight?
I am swell. I can't wait to talk rookies. I'm all about the rookies here. It's good classes. Good two classes.
Awesome. Yeah. So tonight, what we're doing is kind of mentioned before, we're mock drafting this year's class and last year's rookie class, just so we kind of get a gauge on where we're standing compared to last year. So we're going to do a super flex mock. We're going to do two rounds. And being Matt is the guest tonight, he gets the first overall pick.
I get the first overall pick? I'm on the clock?
You are on the clock.
Oh, man, that's a lot of pressure. All right.
Sheets are new.
So, I mean, I think it comes down to a quarterback conversation right at the top, since this is a super flex draft. And it's really going to come down to, for me personally, am I sticking with my QB1 from last year's class, which is Tua, and I'm not really pivoting off of Tua at this point in time, or am I going to go with the QB1 in this year's class, which is Trevor Lawrence? And I'm going to go ahead and go with Trevor Lawrence here. I love Tua. He's one of my highest graded quarterback evaluations ever, but Trevor Lawrence actually has a higher evaluation. And although it's kind of like a running joke, right, to beat up on the Jags, Trevor Lawrence is actually coming in with some pretty solid weapons to throw to in DJ Chark and Visca. And on top of that, you have to imagine that Jacksonville is going to spend some money in free agency, probably invest some solid draft capital in a running back as well. So I don't think it's going to be a perfect situation that Trevor Lawrence is stepping into, but I wouldn't be shocked if Lawrence has better weapons than Tua necessarily, right, in his first year, or even Justin Herbert. I know Herbert's got Keenan Allen and half of Mike Williams when his back is feeling all right. But past that, he doesn't really have weapons he's throwing too much anyway. So I like Trevor Lawrence, and I think he's got to be the first pick of this draft.
Eric, you happy he picked Trevor Lawrence?
No, I wanted to talk about Trevor Lawrence, but he got the pick, right? So that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Trevor Lawrence, if we're talking super flex, Trevor Lawrence needs to be the first pick. Matt, I mean, I'm with you. I'm not pivoting off Tua. I'm not taking Tua here, but I'm not pivoting off Tua. The vitriol surrounding Tua right now with the type of year that he had. I mean, it's like everybody forgot that we're in a COVID season with no off season. He's coming off a major hip injury, and everyone's just like, oh, well, he's terrible. We should give up on him after, what, 8 games? Get out of here with that. I'm still fully entrenched with Tua, but I really like what I saw from Justin Herbert. I'm probably going to take Justin Herbert here. In fact, I am going to take Justin Herbert here. I'm kind of on board with the Chargers taking some type of offensive player with their first pick this year. I think they should just give him another weapon, whether that be Ja'Marr Chase, a Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, a Pitts, any type of help like that. They came out today and said they're going to go up tempo a little more this year, which I really think Herbert would be beautiful in executing. I like what I saw from Justin Herbert his first year. We were big fans of Justin Herbert coming out of the draft last year, and I think even we were surprised how well he played in his rookie season. So I'll take Justin Herbert second.
Wow. The way you guys both talked about too, I thought he was going to be gone by the time I'm up, but you know what? I'm not taking Tua either. I'm going with last year's one overall pick. That's Joe Burrow. I know he's hurt, but we're talking long-term dynasty, and I'm willing to take the chance. He looked absolutely phenomenal last year. They have receivers for him with T. Higgins, who he had a connection with, Tyler Boyd. They're bound to bring in more weapons for him and improve that offensive line. And, I mean, he threw for 2,600 yards in just 10 games last year. He has all the upside, and I'm going to go with Joe Burrow here.
If it wasn't for the injury, and I think Herbert has a little more rushing upside, that's the only reason I took Herbert over Burrow. I love Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's going to be good. Cincinnati, please do me a favor. Do all you can to get Penny Sewell. There's no excuse not to make that the pick.
So when it comes to the 104 here, Tua is the guy who's like jumping out at you, right? Kind of just shouting to be taken. But I do want to point out that I think at this point we start to think about some of these running backs, right? Especially the guys who have impressed, Jonathan Taylor in his rookie year, DeAndre Swift, and then J.K. Dobbins up there as well, Najee Harris in this year's class. Those are some of the guys that are kind of pushing it for me when it comes between Tua or one of those running backs. And although some of those running backs like Taylor have a little bit more quicker production, I'm actually going to go ahead. I'm going to stick with what I've been talking up with Tua for a couple different reasons. And, you know, starting with a strategy lens on this, you're never going to get the quarterback cheaper than in the draft. So if you have the ability to take the quarterback, you kind of have to go with that angle. But there were a lot of factors working against Tua. And one of the factors I don't think we're talking enough about is how young that offensive line was for Miami. I mean, he's playing with pretty much only UDFAs as wide receivers. And what's the best friend of a rookie quarterback? A good running game. And that is not what Miami possessed, right? So there were a lot of factors working against Tua. And even when Fitzmagic was in there and Miami was winning a little bit more consistently, it was the defense that was carrying this team. So I think there's going to be a big emphasis on offense this offseason. And I think Tua is going to take a very large leap forward with a slowed down game and with a little bit more protection around him. Because remember, Tua is a pocket guy, right? He needs a solid pocket to really be able to operate. And I think that game was a little quick for him this year, and it's going to slow down this offseason.
While we're on the Dolphins real quick, what are we doing at 3? I think they need to trade back. Because I can't see them taking an offensive player, a skill position player that high. And I don't want that. Anybody could use a tackle like Sewell. But, I mean, I want to get Tua some help here. If somebody wants to come up, take a quarterback, I think they got to take that deal now.
I think they would have to. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of trading back.
I think if they pick at 3, I think it has to be Sewell, though. I'm not into this DeVonta Smith thing at 3 or even Jamar Chase, who I think is a really good – I think he's the best wide receiver in the class. I'm not taking him at 3,
yeah,
right? And the ransom's going to be there, right, Eric? You know, a team like Detroit trying to get up, a team like Carolina potentially trying to get up. The options are there. Yep. So I would be hoping to move back if I was a Dolphins fan.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to take the first non-QB in the draft. Yeah, I'll take it. I made a big board before this. That was before I knew it was Superflex. The first player on my big board is Justin Jefferson. I want Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's a stud. Certified G, bona fide stud. There's all the superlatives you could throw at him. 1,400 yards in a rookie season is impressive as hell. So I don't really care who's throwing him the ball there. And let me give you a little spoiler alert for you Minnesota fans. It's going to be Kirk Cousins this year. Get used to it. That's a special little nod to all our little Minnesota fans out there. So Justin Jefferson, I have no worries about him. No gripes.
Yeah, I was eyeing him up too. I didn't know if I was fully going to pull the trigger, but he was so good this year. I mean, he had a historically great season. You can't pass Justin Jefferson there. So that puts me here on what skill position I want. And based on where I am, but I'm leaning DeAndre Swift. I liked what I saw out of him when he started to get the flashes last year. We saw the receiving upside early on the season. And when he started to get the uptick in carries, we saw production that matches it. Matt Patricia's gone. they now have been already talking about using him in Detroit and mentioning what a stud running back he is and how they want to build that offense around him. Quarterbacks in question, if they bring in somebody young, he's going to lean on a running back. If they leave Stafford there somehow, he still has that weapon. He's great at checkdowns. I love Swift, and he was my running back one before draft capital last year, and I think he's kind of worked his way back up there.
I like that pick. Yeah, they've been saying nothing but positive things about DeAndre Swift. I don't know how good the Detroit Lions are going to be this year or next year with this new coaching staff and everything, but the one thing I'm for certain, they are going to work to get DeAndre Swift the ball. So he's a he's a major buy candidate right now.
And if they're bad, he stays on the field where they're playing from behind because they throw the ball to him.
He can catch. Yep, 100%.
Matt,
all right,
you're up.
So then at 107, and by the way, before I pick with the 107, I do need to point out that – Ryan consistently trolls me by being unable to properly spell words, and I have to edit his work a lot. And he spelled Trevor Lawrence wrong when he was putting together the outline. So I just wanted to throw that out there, Ryan. A special nod for trolling me as I come back on the podcast. It's between – we're back to Jonathan Taylor and Najee Harris for me because I think Jonathan Taylor is the best fantasy running back on the board from last year's class at this point in time. And I think Najee Harris is the guy who's going to come up. And it's tough without landing spot. But I'm going to go with Najee Harris very slightly here just because I think that there is more long-term upside. Like for Jonathan Taylor, I think he's in the perfect landing spot. And from last year, I think we saw a really good player. And I think that's the ideal situation. But I think Najee Harris in an ideal situation can be even better. Now, you know, 3 months from now when the draft is over, maybe I flip those picks very easily. But I love Najee Harris, man. In what he brings to the game in terms of being a pass catcher on top of the physical ability, that combination can't be stopped. So that is really why Najee is going to slightly nod out Jonathan Taylor for me here.
I came to the conclusion the other day that I don't think there's a single like landing spot for Najee Harris that makes me go, oh, well, you know what? I'm willing to put ETN or one of these other running backs ahead of him. I don't care where Harris goes. He's way too good. He's
wait, Aaron, quick question. What if he goes to Kansas City?
Easily, why would that make me change?
I would hate it for my guy, but I mean,
I would that would be unfair, man. Let me I'm glad you brought up Kansas City. All you people like mocking a wide receiver like Rondell Moore or something to the Kansas City Chiefs late in the first, you're mean, you're rude. All right, you gotta get checked, okay, because that's offensive, and when it happens I'm gonna hate all of you. So
this coming from a Patriots fan who every time there's a free agent they're like, oh, Patriots are gonna get him.
And we don't. And when the Chiefs are mocked somebody, everybody's like, oh, that's lovely. I love it. It's great. Screw off. All right. I'm glad you brought up the Patriots because I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor here. Why did I bring up the Patriots? Well, I'm expecting Matthew Stafford to be the quarterback of either the Colts, the Patriots, or the 49ers. I'm very confident in that. It's going to be one of those three teams that he's going to be the quarterback of. Obviously, the Niners have the highest pick. They can give the highest pick to the Lions. But if Matt Stafford ends up in Indianapolis, man, that is just a match made in heaven. I think that would help Taylor a lot, too, because, good Lord, you go from Philip Rivers' chicken wing to Matt Stafford's cannon. I would enjoy that quite a bit. I have no gripes about you taking Najee Harris over Jonathan Taylor, by the way. I love Najee Harris that much. But Taylor's still a stud. They still have an incredible O-line, even with Anthony Costanzo retiring. I'm all the way in on Jonathan Taylor. What did I just get him at? 108? Is that 108?
108, yep.
Gotta love Superflex. Gotta love
Superflex. All right. So at the 109, I'm real tempted to go a couple of the other running backs from last year. But I'm going to pivot just because of something we saw early on. I'm going with CeeDee Lamb. He was on pace before Dak Prescott went down with injury to be wide receiver number 5 in PPR last year. He was on pace for 1,400 yards, double-digit touchdowns. He was an absolute monster with them, and he played with absolute scraps the rest of the year and still gave up decent performances. With a team that's going to throw the ball 600-plus times next year and an offense that's going, long as everything falls into place, which it should, because you can't let a quarterback like that leave. CeeDee Lamb is bursting into the top 10 this year, and him at this value feels like highway robbery.
This is disrespectful. You're just going to snipe me on my boy CeeDee Lamb, the wide receiver one from last year's class?
That might have been the other reason I took him there.
I think it was, but I think it's what I like is that CeeDee Lamb went above any wide receiver in this year's class, which although I really like some of the wide receivers at the top of this year's class, I would still take CeeDee Lamb without knowing landing spot. You know, today in January, I would take CeeDee Lamb over any wide receiver in this draft class. So I at least feel good about that. And at the 110 for me right now, it is between, do I go with J.K. Dobbins, who is the running back that's popping out to me, or do we start digging back into this 2021 quarterback class? Because there's still a lot of good quarterbacks sitting out there from the 2021 class. And I think that's where I'm going to go here. I'm going to go with Justin Fields, my QB2. I know there's a lot of hype right now in terms of projecting Zach Wilson higher than Justin Fields in mock drafts for the NFL purposes. For me, it's still easily Justin Fields as number two. I think he's got some of the best mechanics in the draft. I actually think his mechanical foundation is better than Trevor Lawrence's. Understand the mental side of the game. We got to work on that. But that arm, that mobility, in the accuracy at times, I know it's inconsistent, but at times Fields looks really freaking good. So from a fantasy perspective, I'm interested in him as my QB2, and it's pretty solid still, unless the landing spots really screw things up. And quite frankly, if Zach Wilson does go two to the Jets, that's only going to help Justin Fields, because that means he's going to end up maybe in Atlanta, maybe in Carolina. If he ends up in Carolina, I mean, strap a rocket on his back. We're shooting him to the moon in terms of fantasy football value. So I think Fields could end up being in a really good position.
If, say, he went to Carolina, how far up this list are you moving him?
He is close to Trevor Lawrence to me. If he goes in Carolina, I might even consider putting him above Trevor Lawrence. And that sounds bullish to say, but that is assuming Joe Brady stays. Mm-hmm. But you put him with Joe Brady, and then the wideouts in from a NFL perspective, the wideouts in Carolina offer you a lot of different things, right? Like DJ Moore brings something to the field that Curtis Samuel does not. And Robbie Anderson has been such a lightning bolt in that offense. They use a second round pick on a tight end. You know, bringing Freiermuth in the second round, my goodness, I love Freiermuth, his fit in Carolina. I think he'll be there at the top of the second. Could you imagine what Justin Fields could do with that? And what did I just say earlier? The running game is the best friend of a rookie quarterback. Well, you still get fantasy football points for Justin Fields when he dumps the ball off to CMC, right? So, I might take Justin Fields over Trevor Lawrence. He might top this list if he ends up in Carolina. I know I'm kind of getting excited about that. Maybe I take that back when I think about it a little bit, but I would love the fit.
Also, to everyone who's – I see a lot of this with the Justin Fields scouting. A lot of people are bringing up the one read offense for Ohio State. The game against Clemson should put some of those worries to rest, because he made so many he was incredible in that game in terms of going through his reads and his progressions. Like the mental part of the game there, that's – I'm not as worried about that. The thing that worries me is the sacks, but that's for another day. I agree. I would love him in Carolina. Carolina would be nice. Next, I'm going to make this is going to be the first bold move of the draft. I am going to take Jalen Waddle. I really like Jalen Waddle. I'm not hiding the love for him.
I love it.
I think he's very close to Ja'Marr Chase for me, because if this kid did not get hurt this year, I think we're talking about him the way people are waxing poetic about Devontae Smith. I swear to God. Because Waddle, with his speed and his ability to create separation, he is a menace for defenses. I'm very interested to see where he goes. I'm imagining the way his production in college wasn't the greatest, but I'm imagining the injury will also push him down the board a little bit more. I feel like he's kind of getting a little bit slept on compared to the other wide receivers in this draft. He's a stud. He's an absolute stud. I would take Jalen Waddle before I take any wide receiver in the draft.
Whew. I was not expecting that one. I was getting ready to forget about Ja'Marr Chase for my pick here, but love it. So Chase is still on the board, who obviously we all love. And I'm thinking about him, between him and the two running backs from this year with J.K. Dobbins and Cam Akers. I lean Cam Akers. Reason why is we saw the offense when it came crunch time for them flip the script and run that offense through him. We saw 15 plus touches from week 13 on. We saw 28 and 18 carries in the playoffs. That's what you want to see at a workhorse back. It may be a 3-year window, but the team doesn't trust Jared Goff. And when they're trying to win ball games, they went to him. And he's still as young, if not younger, than most of the running backs in this class. So I'm going Cam Akers. He does a little bit of everything for that team, and there's no way he doesn't stay on the field. So I'm going to pick him there because he has the best chance of immediate production.
Well, it's pretty easy for me then to kick off round two because I was right there with Dobbins at 110. So to get him at 201, that's good value for me. And I think we saw what we wanted to see out of J.K. Dobbins. I think we saw that volume increase over the course of the season. But I think this is a good spot for J.K. Dobbins because I'm trying to get him where I can this offseason, but I'm being pretty particular and not overpaying because I've been trying to push this narrative out there as much as possible. The Ravens are going to bring in somebody to replace Mark Ingram. Maybe not as many touches, maybe not as featured as Mark Ingram was when fully healthy, but there's 500 touches to go around in that offense, and J.K. Dobbins will get 180 to 100 and, to 200, 180 to 200 touches maybe in that offense, but he's not getting more. He's not going to be a 300 touch guy. It's just not the way the offense works. So I think Dobbins can be a really, really good fantasy football running back, but the ceiling is not as high as some of the other guys that we've talked about before. So I feel like this is a really appropriate spot to get him.
I like it. All right. I'm going to throw another curveball here. I'm going to take Brandon Ayuk because Jimmy G will not be the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. They were rotating basically a bag of crap at quarterback last year. He played 12 – he appeared in 12 games. He had 4 games where he had 10-plus targets. And I know there's a lot to go around in San Francisco. I think Ayuk's the dog. I think he's the guy. And that includes Samuel. That includes Kittle. I think Ayuk's going to be the guy to be the main target in San Francisco. I know that's a little bold because Kittle's still a stud. Debo's a stud. Ayuk surprised the hell out of me last year. So I really like Brandon Ayuk. I'll take him here.
Definitely throw a curveball on that. And I'm going to go with who I was planning on taking my last one, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, we're such a prisoner to the moment in fantasy football. We forgot that he had 1,700 yards just in 2019 before taking the season off. He is Blitnikoff winner. He was absolutely unstoppable. He's a complete package as a wide receiver. Kind of the way we talk about CeeDee Lamb having everything. You see that out of Ja'Marr Chase. He can throw the Jets on beat deep. He can win in jump ball situations. He has the most potential in this year's draft, I feel like, to be a true elite alpha wide receiver. So I'm going to take him here and be extremely happy about the value.
This is where things start getting fun. I'm going to take Trey Lance. I'm taking Trey Lance here. He is my QB3 currently in fantasy football, and this is a discussion that I've started to have at this point, and I think I'm probably going to have it 100 times by the time we get to April. But at least before we know the draft positioning here of these two guys, Wilson and Lance, for me, when it comes to fantasy football, right, I'm going to bank on the upside. And I think Trey Lance has way more upside to his game. I think Zach Wilson is a little bit more limited from a fantasy football perspective than we're willing to admit. And I think Trey Lance has unlimited fantasy football potential. Now, Zach Wilson is a, quote, safer quarterback prospect for the NFL, but there's really no such thing as a safe prospect. So I wouldn't shy away from Trey Lance just because you're worried that he won't hit. Quarterbacks are tough to evaluate. Zach Wilson might not hit. Kyle Trask will not hit. I mean, might not hit. Mac Jones will not hit. I mean, might not hit. So especially when it comes to quarterbacks, don't get caught up drafting scared. And I'm not drafting scared because I love Trey Lance's arm and I love his athleticism. And if there's anything that is, you know, my fantasy football weakness, I got two things, guys. A quarterback that can run and a wide receiver that can break off a slant. And who knows, Trey Lance might be able to break off a slant for I know, because this man is athletic and I know he can run and I know he can huck that football down the field. So I'm it's a little bullish, but 204 Trey Lance, I feel good about it.
When speaking about Trey Lance, please get his title correct. That's future Patriots quarterback Trey Lance. Thank you. For my next pick, I am going to go with J.K. Dobbins. I've seen enough of him dropping here.
Oh, no, you're not.
He went? Jesus,
you're sure not?
Well.
And I did mark it.
You did. Oof. Completely missed him. Well, now I'm scrambling. Ooh, that means it's either between Higgins or Judy. Judy was my wide receiver one. All right, I'll stick with Judy. Look. Matt, you can't close your ears. That's not a thing. Cover your ears. He needs a better quarterback here. Drew Lock just is so not it. He never was it. It's never going to be it. He needs a better quarterback here. I would love for them to maybe go after Matt Stafford. I don't know why they haven't really been thrown into the mix here. I really do think if you give them a better quarterback, their offense is lethal. They have a very good offense. They have so many weapons. It's a bit young. That's basically the case surrounding them. I'm still a big believer in Jerry Jeudy. He had apparently the worst 800-yard season you'll ever see, according to Twitter. So I know the catch rate was not great, but I still think he's an absolute stud. So I'll stick with Jerry Jeudy.
Well, I'm going to stick with this, how the mighty have fallen for guys we saw go to the top of last year's draft and who just kind of plummeted now. And I'm going Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think his upside is somewhat limited just because of how much that offense passes, but it's still there. He's still their guy, starting linebacker. I know the situation on a good offense with them, and he could see an uptick next year if any changes happen with that team. And compared to all the other backs who are left, I love his skill set still. So I'm going to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but it's crazy that he was the 101 almost everywhere last year, and now we're kind of just moving on a little bit.
All right, 207. I'm gonna go ahead and stick with the running backs here, but I'm gonna go with Travis Etienne. I think this is an appropriate spot for Etienne to go off the board. We gotta nip this Javonte Williams running back two thing in the bud. It's Javonte Williams is good. But I think when we put him above Travis Etienne, we're setting ourselves up to be disappointed, right? And so I think Etienne is a really good back. I think he is a little bit more landing spot dependent. Put him in Arizona, I'm really excited about him. Put him in a spot where he's going to have to split volume, not so excited about him. So he's a little bit more landing spot dependent, but he's still a home run hitter. He's still got the acceleration. He proved this season he could be a pass catcher. So he's a pretty well-rounded back. I think we're just getting stuck in this trap that sometimes we get into, which is like, I've seen them be so good for so long that I'm not going to appreciate his value anymore. And for Etienne, that's going to lead to somebody getting pretty good value in their rookie drafts.
All right. And then since you made it back to me, I'll go Higgins. I know Burrow has the injury. I'm not all that worried about that. I think he'll make a full recovery. Higgins, me and Ryan talked about this. He seems to be already the wide receiver one in Cincinnati. Him and Boyd make a great pairing. My jury's still out on Zach Taylor. I'm not a big Zach Taylor guy right now, but I mean, I am a big Joe Burrow fan. So I like what I saw from Higgins in his rookie year. I only expect him to get better.
Perfect. And honestly, kind of in the air here between two quarterbacks, and that's Zach Wilson and Jalen Hurts. My only fear with Hurts is that we don't know if they're committed to him yet because there's still these murmurs about Carson Wentz, and it's kind of getting that nightmarish feel to it. So I'm going to go with Zach Wilson. I really like what I've seen about it. He has a cannon arm. He makes wild throws consistently. He's had accuracy all season, and he's done it without the best surrounding cast around him. He has a little bit of rushing upside, nothing crazy, but enough to keep you happy and keep the points going for you. And he's going to be somebody who's going to be on a bad team, who's going to get picked early and be asked to make an immediate contribution. So I think he has a more of a solid chance of starting. I'm more confident with him being the starter than Jalen Hurts at this point, even though Hurts' fantasy values are awesome because of his rushing upside.
I think they're going with Wentz.
Me too.
Why are you firing Peterson?
I have that deep down feeling. It's just there's too much money involved.
Why would they fire Peterson? Makes no sense. If you're firing Peterson, that you just chose Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is the guy. They'll probably come out and be like, oh, it's an open competition. Has that job even been filled yet? Nick Sirianni, right. All right. Mm-hmm. They'll come out. It's open competition between the two. They'll go with Wentz, and Wentz will be the guy. And he'll perform better than he did last year, but that's not saying much. Congrats, Eagles fans. There you go. I just solved your problem. Stop mocking quarterbacks to the Eagles at six. It's not happening.
Okay, would it be too much of a troll pick here with the 210 to take my boy Gabriel Davis?
Definitely not.
I want to make a homer pick, but he had a pretty good rookie season. If we're looking at it objectively, he had a pretty good rookie season, but I will be respectful of the integrity of this super legitimate mock draft, and instead I will go with my wide receiver three in this year's class, who I think is not a lot of people probably have him in that top three wide receiver. And it is not Devonta Smith. It is Terrace Marshall out of LSU. I think Terrace Marshall is the forgotten about wide receiver in this year's class. He's got good length. He's got good athleticism. He's got really sticky hands. And I think he's an all-around type guy. I think he could be used in a variety of different ways. You can move him to the outside. You can play him inside. You can move him all around the field. And an NFL team is going to take him higher than we think. In our NFL draft Bible mock draft at si.com/NFL/draft, the first one on Sports Illustrated, you know who Rick sent Terrace Marshall to? The Giants. And that was the first thing for the Giants that I've seen in a long time that I've liked on a mock draft. Top of the second. I think that's exactly where Marshall's going to go, top of the second round. So I would be happy to take him at this value in this mock draft.
I've seen a lot of Waddle to the Giants in mock drafts. You wouldn't be happy with that?
I like Waddle. Waddle's my two. Waddle's my wide receiver too, so I would like that as well. But the thing about Marshall, specifically with the Giants, is that we need some dang length on that team. And he's longer. Like he has a good height, but he's longer than his height, and he's got a good catch radius. And that's really important because our quarterback can't throw the ball well.
What about Pitts at 11? Too high?
No, I hate it. I don't like it. But I understand it. Here's the thing. You could do 32 mock drafts and you could put Kyle Pitts on every team and make a good argument for it. You know what I mean? So
he's the most annoying pick in the mock drafts right now. 100%. Right.
As long as you don't send him to New England, I'm fine because that's just a stupid pick.
It's already, I mean, it's not, but we've done like 58 times already. I'm kind of getting annoyed with it. All right. So final pick of the mock draft here for me. Not, you know, do I go by my big board that I made in like 20 seconds, or do I talk about a guy who I really like? I'm going to talk about a guy who I really like. I'm going to throw Elijah Moore out there because that's my guy. I'm planting my flag on Elijah Moore this year, Ole Miss wide receiver. I think he's a stud. I'd be really worried that a team like the Chiefs are going to take him. And if he goes there, then all hell's going to break loose. And, you know, the equator is going to cave in and we're going to get hit by an asteroid. I don't know. Stuff like that will happen. Elijah Moore. Just I don't know if he could be the I think he can be. I think he could be the sole producer on a team. I think he's that good as a wide receiver. I like Elijah Moore a lot. Unlike some rumors out there, I am not a Mac Jones guy, but I am Elijah Moore guy. So I will put that out there. I am an Elijah Moore guy, tried and true.
One of those statements are true.
The Elijah Moore part.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like Matt threw me a monkey wrench saying this is just an annoying pick. But I'm going to do it anyways.
Oh, this better be a good one. This is the last pick in the draft, Ryan. Don't mess this up.
Never mess up.
Mac Jones.
I'm going with Kyle Pitts.
You kind of had to. We would have gotten a lot of flack if Kyle Pitts didn't get taken. We would have gotten a lot of flack.
It's in our contract that we have to talk about Kyle Pitts in any mock, whether it be an NFL or fantasy.
We get a nickel every time we say Kyle Pitts, so we're just going to say Kyle Pitts as much as we can. Kyle Pitts.
it's in the contract. So, I mean, he's a top-tier receiving threat at tight end position. He's a complete mismatch. You can't go anywhere and not hear about it. So I'm not going to yammer around him too much. But fantasy-wise, every year we're just struggling to figure out the tight end position. And at 2.12, I'm willing to take a really nice dart throw. Maybe this could be two dart throws for somebody to hit at the position, which we have four good players and the rest we don't know. So I'm going to take Kyle Pitts here and be somewhat happy about it. So with our two-round mocks, I just want to name some of the guys we kind of missed here. Has the winner, Devonta Smith, missed the list. Chase Claypool didn't make it. Eric, I'm really disappointed in you over this one. Antonio Gibson. James Robinson, Javonta Williams.
I was
going to
say the James Robinson, we'll probably get a little flack for not taking James Robinson, but I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, like it was just so much talent these last two drafts. And the way they've trickled in on this shows just how good we're going to look at 2 years in a row. So I love it.
But can we talk about our man who had a great day at the Senior Bowl? Tylan Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
Tylan Wallace just missed this list. I think he was a good contender.
He's going to be one of my most owned players this year. I'm going to put money on that. Like, he's going to be like how it was Justin Jefferson last year, owning him everywhere. Love Tyler Wallace.
He's going to be a discount. Right now, our ADP, we're doing our rookie mock draft ADP, and in one quarterback leagues, he's the 201, which means in super flex, he's going to be a mid-second round ADP. Steal. Absolute steal.
Okay, but when he ends up going in the first round, is he still going to be that steal?
I don't think he goes in the first round of the NFL draft. Because remember, he has the lower body injuries. He does have the lower body injuries, which scares. So he's probably not on all 30 boards, right? He's probably on 20 boards because some guys will just cross you off. But I think he goes day two, and I think he goes – hopefully he goes somewhere nice, right? But we almost don't want him to get too excited because Justin Jefferson got buried because people didn't want to look at the numbers and understand that he was going to ball out no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, so we're loaded here. So, Matt, as our guest tonight, tell everyone where we find you, what shows, what you've been working on.
I get to do a plug?
You get to plug.
Oh, wow. I didn't think I'd get to do a plug. On Twitter, at the @FF_educator. I do a show with John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar, on a pretty sweet podcast network, NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. So make sure to listen in there. Ryan didn't tell you to subscribe and leave a 5-star review, so I will. Great job.
Leave
a 5-star review. We get a nickel for that too, Kyle Pitts. You know what? The new project, the new side project is the Rookie Big Board podcast. So you can go ahead and check that out. Just 4 episodes in on that. And, patreon.com/theffeducator. If I get to do the plug, I'm doing the plug. Rookie Big Board, 70 player profiles done on the rookie class and many more coming.
Awesome. Eric, you want to tell them where they find you?
When I swear now, I'm just going to say Kyle Pitts. I'm on Twitter @FF_taters. I got some articles coming out about the upcoming quarterbacks in this draft. And Kyle Pitts.
Awesome. Well, everybody find me at Ryan Tierfoss at Foss534. And thanks for listening to the Dynasty Draft Room, presented by Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. And in case it hasn't been said yet, please subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. And we'll catch y'all next week.
Later.